Well, now, brethren, it will be our privilege to hear our dear brother Elmer Weeks speak to us again. Personally, have received so many rich blessings from Brother Elmer's ministries in the past. And we're looking forward to this afternoon as he addresses us on the subject, Cities of Refuge. Cities of Refuge. Brother Elmer.
In Joshua, the 20th chapter, verses 1 to 9, we have pictured for us there a most interesting and significant picture. This picture shows us that of a sinner and the position that he attains in Christ Jesus when he recognizes and claims the Lord as his Savior, not just by word only, but particularly in action. Briefly, these were six cities of refuge provided by the Lord to which the Israelites could flee, and there they could seek protection from any crime that the particular individual had unintentionally committed. The crime, such as taking of a life, was subject to revenge by the victim's nearest of kin. The accused, whether the crime was intentional or accidental, was under the law, punishable, and worthy of death. The law being a life for a life. It was for this accidental or unintentional crime that provisions were made by way of the cities of refuge. The slayer had to immediately flee to one of these cities. He then had to state his case to the elders of that city, and if judged acceptable, he was allowed into the city and given a place to live within the confines of the city's walls. As long as he remained there, he would be in no danger of the avenger of the blood. However, if he left the protected provisions of that city of refuge, he could at any time be lawfully slain by the avenger. The slayer had to remain within the city for the remainder of his life, or until the death of the high priest, at which time he was safe to leave and to return back to his home. This unique arrangement is the very reverse of our present-day prison systems. The culprit himself was the one who had to seek out his own prison, and who would desire to stay therein for his own protection, and has certainly avoided the building of massed iron bars and wall prisons from which our prisoners today continually seek to escape. These cities were strategically located so as to provide accessibility throughout the whole nation of Israel. We believe the meaning of the names are significant in definition to the great antitypical high priest, and we might say that these were six pictures hung in the Old Testament picture gallery representing our Savior Lord Jesus. The first city mentioned is that of Kadesh. This was a city situated within the tribe of Naphtali. Kadesh means holy or sanctuary. Another was Shechem. This was located within the tribe of Ephraim. And Shechem means shoulder. A third, Hebron. Hebron was found within the borders of the tribe of Judah. And Hebron means sure alliance, fellowship, or community. The fourth was Bezer. This was situated on the east side of the Jordan River, within the tribe of Reuben. And Bezer means stronghold, fortification, or protection. The fifth was Ramoth, which was east of Jordan in Gilead and within the tribe of Gad. Ramoth means high places, heights, or exaltation. Golan, the sixth, was also on the east side of Jordan in Bashan within the tribe of Manasseh. And Golan means exile. These six cities were the possessions of the Levites. This very fact would ensure that being free of all tribal biases and prejudices, because the Levites were the religious representatives of the nation. In our research on this study, one of the sources made the point of bringing out that there were no weapons allowed in any of these six cities. And this brought to our minds, indeed, that the weapons of our warfare are not to be carnal as well. Numbers 35 and verse 4 states that each city includes the land surrounding the walls going out 1,000 cubits. 1,000 we recognize as being Jehovah's number. And this showed him then as the altar of salvation to those who fled to these cities. Inside these cities, there were also very specific dimensions for them. Each side, north, south, east, and west, were to measure exactly 2,000 cubits. This combined measurement equals 8,000 cubits, which we feel is also significant. The number 8, as we know, beautifully pictures the resurrection life, Jesus being resurrected on the morrow after the Sabbath, or the eighth day. This number 8, multiplied again by Jehovah's number of 1,000, gives us the combined inside measurements of each of those cities, 8,000. Truly, for those who ran to the cities of refuge, they did receive a reprieve, or a resurrection, as it were, from what would be certain death. We find that in this picture, we have a dual application. It shows to us God's two salvations. The first is that of the sinner of the gospel age, which we will now first pursue. Romans 5:12 states, "By one man's obedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We see from this scripture that the avenger, who is justice, is upon the sinner's trail, and that it is only a question of time when he will overtake and destroy the one he is pursuing, unless that sinner reaches some place where he can find safety and refuge. In the arrangements of old, there were signposts at frequent intervals pointing in the direction of the cities of refuge. And these signs bore the name Refuge. As the sinner seeks refuge, he too sees the signs which God has set out for his instructions, pointing them to Christ as the only refuge to whom they could flee. As in the type, this refuge is not a place to flee from willful or intentional violations of the divine law, but it is a refuge to cover the sins of our weaknesses, perhaps that we do unintentionally by ignorance, which are the results of man's fall. Hebrews 3:1 states, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Let us now look at these names and relate their meaning to our high priest, who is our only escape, our only refuge that we can possibly have at this time. Kadesh, as we said, meant holy or sanctuary, and this is certainly most descriptive of our Lord Jesus. Even the evil spirit that we find recorded and mentioned in Mark 1:24 recognizes that this was so in reference to Jesus when he said to him, "I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Hebrews 7:26 tells us that Jesus, our high priest, is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. He is our sanctuary, as Romans 8:1 assures us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Webster defines sanctuary as a place of immunity from punishment or from the law. Yes, free from the law, oh happy condition, Jesus our Lord has purchased remission. Cursed by God's law and bruised by the fall, Christ has redeemed us once and for all. Now we are free, there's no condemnation. Jesus will soon perfect our salvation, passing from death to life at his call. Blessed salvation once for all. Shechem, meaning shoulder, reminds us of Isaiah 53:4. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Yes, Jesus shouldered the sins of the whole world, and additionally he shoulders our everyday burdens. For we read in Matthew 11:28 his precious promise to each of us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, truly, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? In his arms he'll take and shield us. Thou wilt find a solace there. Hebron, meaning sure alliance, brings to our minds Jesus' promise to his disciples that we find in Matthew 28 and verse 20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. The Apostle Paul in Hebrews 13:5 reminds us, for he that hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Romans 8:38 and 39 explicitly tells us that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This sure alliance is further beautifully referred to in John 17, verses 9, 20, and 21. There it states, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Yes, truly, Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus' words, and he himself will never fail us. Bezer, meaning stronghold or protection, reminds us of 1 Corinthians 10:4, which tells us of the spiritual rock, Christ Jesus, who only can offer us the protection from our sins and from the sentence of justice. He is our stronghold in the example that he has left us to follow. Paul testifies to Jesus being this stronghold when he so firmly states in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Looking unto Jesus, we find ourselves strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. These were the words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1:11. And brethren, I'm sure that they are equally our words as well. There can be no protection or source of strength that we can find in other place, in any other place, except in our high priest. Again, one of the beautiful hymns tells us, "In Zion's rock abiding, my soul her triumph sings. In his pavilion hiding, I praise my King of Kings. While waves around me swelling, dark clouds above I see, yet in my fortress dwelling, more safe I cannot be. My tower of strength can never in time of trouble fail. No power of Satan ever against it shall prevail. My strong tower is he. To him will I flee. In him confide, in him abide. My strong tower is he." Ramoth, meaning high places, brings several thoughts to our minds. Firstly, we are reminded of the Apostle Paul and his words that are found in Ephesians 1:3 and then in chapter 2 and verse 6. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Reading from Tabernacle Shadows on page 22, it says, "We now find ourselves as new creatures in the holy, in the first of the heavenlies, and begin to be enlightened by the golden candlestick, God's word, respecting spiritual things, the deep things of God, and to be refreshed and strengthened daily with the truth, as represented in the showbread, lawful for only the priests to eat. And thus enlightened and strengthened, we should daily offer up sacrifices at the golden altar, acceptable through God, through Jesus Christ, a sweet perfume unto the Father. Thus, all the saints, all the consecrated, are in the heavenly condition now, seated at rest and in communion with Christ in the first of these heavenly places, but not yet entered into the holiest of all." End of quote. Yes, brethren, our great high priest has made it possible for you and for me to be called with a high calling and to be seated in communion with our God in high and heavenly places. We also note that because of his faithfulness unto death, our priest was made a little higher than all of his brethren. Philippians 2:9 tells us, "Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." And because of this exaltation, Jesus was able to say, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And so therefore he has the power to lead us into the high places also with him. "I have walked alone with Jesus in a fellowship divine. Nevermore can earth allure me. I am his and he is mine. On the mountain I have seen him, Christ my comforter and friend. And the glory of that vision will be with me to the end." Matthew 17 and verse 8 tells us, "And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." May indeed, brethren, that be so with each of us. Golan, meaning exile, surely fits the description of our Lord during his earthly ministry. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He was separate from sinners, and separated unto doing the will of his Father. As far as the scribes and Pharisees were concerned, he was an outsider, exiles from their way of thinking, from their way of doing things, and because of his faithfulness to his Father's word, they would have nothing to do with him. Our Savior indeed went from the realm of light to the depths of night. He was an exile in his surroundings in the most absolute sense. And so it is also that any who will follow after him will likewise have to be some sort of an exile. John 17:14 says, "The world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Yes, we have said to our Savior, "Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Weak and poor, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shalt be. Let the world despise and leave me. They have left my Savior too. Former friends are wont to leave. Thou art faithful, thou art true. Go then, earthly name and treasure, come reproach, scorn, and pain. In thy service pain is pleasure, with thy favor loss is gain." We are abiding, brethren, in the hollow covering of his salvation. We are to abide in him, having on the protective robe of righteousness that has been imputed to us and had been provided by divine mercy and favor. And we believe that these things are represented by the cities of refuge. We ask, how long must we thus abide in the mercy of Christ? And how long will we have no standing of our own, no safety outside of his provision of refuge? The answer in our picture is told to us, until the death of the high priest. This has already happened in a large measure. Jesus, our head, has already finished his course, as well as many of the other members of the body. Soon the entire high priest, its every member, will have died. And when this occurs, then the high priest to this gospel age will be complete, and in essence and figure, he will be dead. When this occurs, it will be the time for a new dispensation to commence. This new dispensation will bring with it a change of scenes. And now we see pictured in the cities of refuge and those seeking protection something a little different. As it is with the church now, so shall it be for the world of mankind in the kingdom. They will find their refuge only in the meritorious arrangement through Christ's sacrifice, as we do now. Pertaining to this very point, we find in reprints 4080, that it states, "But mark you, the sinner must continue to abide in the city of refuge as long as the high priest liveth, that is, as long as Christ continues in his priestly office, which will be until he is able to present all of the redeemed who abide in him under the new covenant conditions faultless before the throne of God at the end of the millennial age as king and priest." We see then that though mankind has been raised from the dead in the resurrection and will find themselves subject now to a new arrangement to which Israel has the primary promises, nevertheless, all are imperfect and all still come far short of the glory of God. They must have a standing, and that standing that they will have before him can only be found in Christ Jesus, their refuge. Pertaining to Israel, Zechariah 12:10 tells us, "They shall look upon him who they have pierced." They will recognize Jesus as their Messiah, their Redeemer, their refuge. The will of mankind outside of Israel will likewise follow suit. We have this referred to us in the thoughts given to us in Zechariah 8, verses 22 and 23. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of all the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Those who will not conform, those who will not seek a covering and a protection for their sins in Christ, are prophesied of in Acts 3 and verse 23. And it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. The avenger of the blood, justice, will exact the penalty upon all such who choose this. This penalty will be second death, from which we know there is no recovery. But upon the others, those who have sought protection in the antitypical city of refuge, on these the avenger will have no power, unless they leave their protective arrangement. To be safe, they too must remain in this condition as long as the high priest lives, which for mankind is a total time of the messianic kingdom. The meaning of these cities of refuge are also interesting as they are applied to the world of mankind in the second arrangement. Walking through those meanings again, Kadesh, you remember, means holy or sanctuary. Revelation 26 says, holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. Yes, Jesus was the first fruit, and we, his body members, if we are faithful, will be the afterfruits. Revelation 21 and verse 3 states that in the kingdom, the tabernacle or the sanctuary of God will be with men. This tabernacle is the glorified church, who, joined with their Lord Jesus, will bless all of the families of the earth. They will be the sanctuary to all those who come unto and into this protective arrangement. The Christ will also have the function of teacher or prophet, and thus will the world of mankind learn holiness while walking up the highway of holiness that Isaiah speaks about in Isaiah 35 and verse 8. Shechem, we said, meant shoulder, which is symbolic of power and of strength. We are descriptively told in Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, that the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Yes, Jesus and his bride will have the privilege of shouldering the tremendous responsibilities of setting the world upright. Isaiah 22:22 tells us, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Yes, Jesus truly said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 and 25 states, then shall come the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. Hebron, we said, meant sure alliance. This offer of help is held out to the will of mankind as expressed in Revelation 22 and verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. This beautiful offer aligns itself with that of 1 Timothy 2:4, which says of God, who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. How can a man be saved in the kingdom arrangement? He must ally himself with the mediator. Verses 5 and 6 tells us, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. In Hebrews 7 and verse 22 we read, by so much more was Jesus made a surety of a better testament or covenant. Also Hebrews 8:6 says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Yes, it is only by alliance with their mediator will mankind acquire protection and ultimately total salvation. If they do, it will indeed be a sure alliance based upon the sure promises of God that they, through Jesus and his church, which is the seed of Abraham, will receive of them all the blessings that can come by them through all the families of the earth. This will be indeed what might be termed God's great surprise party, of which we are told of in 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Bezer, you recall, means stronghold or protection. We read in Isaiah 11, 1 through 5, there shall come forth out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall judge after the sight of his, shall not judge, rather, after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now dropping down to verse 10, we continue, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Yes, what a beautiful day indeed that will be for our groaning creation that we see all about us today. Yes, Jesus will be the world's protector, a stronghold to mankind in that righteous kingdom. Nothing shall hurt, nothing shall harm in all of his kingdom. This we are told in Isaiah 11:9. There shall not be even any fear of such things. Yes, what a glorious new world that will be. Ramoth, we said, means high places. We are reminded of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 25 to 28. We'll be reading this from the NIT version. For he shall reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who has put everything under him, so that God might be all in all. Yes, brethren, what a grand time that will be when all mankind who choose life will look up and praise their Heavenly Father with whom they have now attained at onement. They will see Jesus and his bride seated in the high places on God's throne, and they will truly rejoice to be the sons of God. They will at last be free of the burdens of sin and selfishness that has dragged them down into the miry pit for so many years, for they are now raised to an upright position of honesty, of purity, and of God-likeness. Yes, the humble shall be exalted. This will be true then also, to the point where each man will be, as God has planned, a king in his own right here upon the earth. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come unto Zion, and everlasting joys upon the head, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This will indeed be God's beautiful tomorrow, his salvation for the will of mankind. Our last one, Golan, which is our last city, as you recall, was meant exile. Those of mankind who were formerly exiled from God's presence will now be brought nigh by placing their hands upon the horn of the altars, so to speak, and claiming the power of the blood in this city of refuge and peace in his kingdom. They will be, so to speak, exiles from those who choose to remain in unrighteousness. For all those who will choose death rather than conform to the laws of righteousness and love, then, as we have said before, will be put out of their misery, so to speak, for all times. It will not be a place of torture that some of our Christian friends teach, but it will be a permanent resting place for those who choose so to enter. And thus we see, brethren, that God has, in these Old Testament pictures, many beautiful lessons for us. Lessons that we can indeed praise him, and that we can see his beautiful plan shown to us in yet another way, and which merely shows us the great wisdom and the great love and the great concern he has for all creation. So, brethren, let us praise him, and let us give him thanks that he has especially called us unto the city of refuge that we have today, that we find so very precious to us, that refuge that we find in the covering that Jesus has given us, that we might call our great God our Father, and that we might follow in Jesus' footsteps with him. May the Lord bless each of you as you endeavor to be pleasing to your Heavenly Father in whatever way you can.
Thank you, Brother Elmer, for another beautiful lesson from the portion of Scripture having to do with the cities of refuge, which one could flee to when having committed the killing of one accidentally. And so a beautiful lesson comes to our attention. And Brother Elmer will close with prayer.
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we humbly and once again approach thy throne of grace, and thee thanking thee once more for the great price that thou paid on our behalf in letting Jesus, our precious Savior, die on the cross, that we might come to thee in his righteousness, that we may address thee as our Father, that we may learn the ways in which we ought to walk by following his example. And so, dear Father, we do praise thee for thy plan, for the calling that thou hast given unto us. May we be more worthy. May we praise thee, Father, in our endeavor to serve thee more acceptably in all that we say and do. We realize the need of thy Holy Spirit to guide us, and indeed, Father, we do pray for this constantly. And we ask and pray it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.